Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, a show dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in today. All month long, I've been interviewing Dr. Bailey Smith about evangelistic preaching and evangelism in the local church. Listen in to this segment as Dr. Smith talks about having a month of revival and when the invitation really begins.
Evangelistic preaching really begins in the introduction. Many times as I'm preaching now, I will say in the first 10 minutes, now when we give this invitation in about 25 or 30 minutes, many of you are going to walk this aisle and commit your life to Jesus Christ. So all during my sermon, they've already heard what I expect and believe God's going to do.
That's good. A few years ago, I started in my introduction saying, here's what I'm going to ask you to do at the end of this sermon. So it gives them time when you work it in the first 10 minutes. It gives them time for the Holy Spirit to begin drawing them, even at that point, those who are lost. So that's great. Now, were there times in your church, you mentioned the Starlight Crusade every year, those times, and were there other times when you just let your church know, hey, I'm preaching the gospel, a message to lost people in 3 weeks, or I'm preaching on hell in 3 weeks. Bring your lost people, lost friends, lost family members on that day.
Yes, and also we would occasionally do what we called a month of revival, which I would recommend to everybody. And what I meant by that is, for a solid month, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I would be preaching an evangelistic sermon. And I don't know if many people have ever tried that, but it's a very effective tool because the people know that, oh, say 3 months later, Brother Smith is preaching every sermon to the unsaved. I've got to get my dad here. I've got to get my brother here. I have to get my neighbor here. And that's a very effective approach to winning people to Christ.
So you did it for a whole month in every service. I'm preaching an evangelistic message. Bring your family member, lost friend, this month, any service.
That's right, and we just call it month of revival. Now, you and I know, and everybody listening knows, there's a distinction between revival and evangelism, but let's be honest, normally during revival we expect people to be saved. So we just call it a month of revival, and everybody knew that I'd be preaching a strong evangelistic message. So our people were very good in getting their friends to come into our service.
All right, Brother Bailey, you had some sermons that by now are famous, for lack of a better term, most notably Wheat and the Tares or a sermon along those lines.
Yes, sir.
Did you have a favorite text that you preached from multiple times when you, did you repeat sermons during that month of a revival or a Starlight Crusade? I know you do as an evangelist, but as a pastor, did you reuse a sermon God had anointed in the past?
Well, what I would do is I would preach Wheat or Tares twice a year at First Southern. I'd preach it at Starlight, and then I would preach it in the church. Now, 1 year at Starlight, the 2 weeks went so good, we extended to 3 weeks. And so I preached it twice that three-week period out of Matthew chapter 13. Mm. We've now seen over 48,000 people saved in the preaching of that message. And God's just chosen to anoint it.
Wow.
And but yes, there were passages. I love to preach on the prodigal son. I do that most weeks. And I love to preach out of Revelation 10, and love to speak about the second coming and the imminent return of Christ. That's a great text. Certainly the rich young ruler is a great text, or the rich man in Lazarus is a great text for evangelism.
Yes. For the pastor who thinks, well, I preached a sermon and we had folks saved, and I can't preach that again here. That's not the case. If God had used it, again, Wheat and Tares and 48,000 people saved, you saw no problem with preaching that sermon again later on down the line.
No, sir. And I'll be honest with you. I put my sermons up that deal with the unsaved church member for 2 years because I was getting criticism. And then Adrian Rogers said to me, he says, Bailey, has any lost church member ever complained that later got saved? And I said, no, sir. He said, then preach it, dummy.
Oh, what a great word. What a great word.
So I take it on the chin. Now, you know, if somebody wanted me to be transparently honest, and I've always tried to be that, if they said, preacher, do some people come down the aisle when you preach that don't need to, I would say yes. But when you throw out a net, you may get an old boot, you may get a fish you're not looking for, no telling what you might get in that net. But I learned if I make exceptions to everything I say in that message, you take the teeth out of it. So I
yes.
throw out the net, and I tell you, in the first time I preached the message was 1980. And of the 48,000 that have been saved, I've never had one person write me, not one, and say they wish they hadn't done it.
And that's who we're doing it for.
That's right.
And I know that's a great word you said about the net. I know, for example, when I used to preach to hundreds of children at our vacation Bible school, and I'd preach an evangelistic sermon, and literally dozens and sometimes 100 children would walk the aisle. Did all of them understand? No, but we dealt with them on a one-on-one basis after they walked the aisle to help with that. And so I don't think that's an excuse for not casting the net is, well, I'm going to get an old boot or there may be some complications with this. Yes, there is, but for the folks who get saved, they don't mind at all.
You know, they don't. And another thing I learned 30 years as a pastor, if somebody walks the aisle as a child, and later on they didn't really feel secure about it, walking the aisle as a child at least kept them in the church, kept them associated with the fellowship of the people, which made them one day hear a message when they got older that really converted them. So even though we would never encourage an insincere decision, sometimes even those keep people close enough to the gospel so that later on they'll get the real thing.
That was Dr. Bailey Smith. Now we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Mark and I will talk about this subject just a little more on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life
I depended on my money and success. I had it all. But I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. With me again today is Mark Merritt in Evangelism Ministries. Mark, Dr. Smith said something I think all of us need to hear, and that is when the invitation really begins.
I think it's so important that in the introduction, as you stated and as Dr. Smith stated, that when people are hearing the sermon, they understand and they know what we're expecting them to do with that sermon.
Mm-hmm. So really, there in the introduction, we're not trying to spring it on them at the end. We're letting them know, hey, I'm going to boldly ask you to come forward and trust Christ today.
And anybody that's seen a Billy Graham crusade, you've heard him say that. In a few moments or in just a little bit, I'm going to ask you to step out. People need to know what it means to respond to the gospel. You've heard this gospel presentation. You've heard the claims of Christ, and you want to respond to it. Here's how you do that.
Right, right. And I think when you say it in the beginning of your sermon, you let the Holy Spirit grab that heart right then and say, he's talking to you, I'm talking to you, you need to come down. That was a great word. He also talked about, I asked him if he had a Sunday where he let his people know that he's preaching the gospel. He said yes, and a whole month as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'll have to admit, as a pastor, I did the evangelistic Sunday things. Never have I tried the month of revival. I thought that was absolutely ingenious. and I love it. I've never tried it. Have you done anything like that?
No, I did the one Sundays where I would say, listen, church, on this date, I'm preaching a purely gospel message. I want you to invite your friends, lost loved ones, coworkers. I did that. It never crossed my mind, I'm sad to say, that to do it for a month. But what a great idea that even on Wednesday nights, I'm going to preach and give an invitation on Wednesday nights.
Just think for shift workers, for people that may just be afraid of Sunday morning because, you know, they're irreligious people and they don't want to go to church on Sunday mornings, to get them on Wednesday night to hear the gospel, to be given an invitation and the music, have evangelistic music. I think it's ingenious. It takes a lot of the pressure off of your people to get them there on a specific Sunday. It gives them a whole month to get their lost friends and loved ones there. I love it.
Yeah, you can imagine it, taking ourselves out of the pastor role now, a church member who's got a lost parent, and they want to get them to a service to hear the gospel and get saved, and you've told them, well, the first Sunday in April, you know, I'm going to preach the gospel, you know, it's purely to lost people. And you go to your parents and they say, oh, we're going to be in Kansas the first Sunday in April. That, how disheartening that would be. Well, if you do it a whole month, you're going to cast a wide net and catch just about everyone, I think.
Absolutely. And I feel guilty that I've never done that before.
No, I do too. I do too. Note to self. Note to self. And the last thing we want to touch on just briefly was, I ask him that question, Mark, about repeating sermons because we get great guilt. Most pastors don't repeat sermons. They change churches so they can repeat sermons. So to hear him say he preached the Wheat and the Tares twice a year or three times a year every year, I think if you have a sermon that the Holy Spirit has anointed and people are saved when you preach it, why not preach it again?
Absolutely. And I'm the same way. I have felt guilty. I've changed sermons around because I felt guilty preaching the same sermon, even though I knew that God gave me that word. God gave me that message. It's been prayed over. It's not some canned thing that I'm going to pull out because I'm too lazy to study. But yet it's a presentation that I know the Holy Spirit has used and can use again to prick the hearts of lost people and draw them to faith in Jesus Christ. Why not use it again?
Why not? And I know for pastors who may be listening, I'm new to this job here at the Georgia Baptist Convention, and for the first time in my ministry, I'm getting to preach repeat sermons. And I'll say this, and Mark, you comment on it, they do get better every time you preach them because you know what to take away and know what to add. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. And you know what jokes work in the sermon and what ones flop.
That's exactly
but
right.
Yeah, but that's right. But how many do you think Paul didn't preach the same sermons over again? You think Peter? You think Jesus didn't repeat his message to different audiences? And even to the same audience as he's talking and driving home his point to his disciples. You think he didn't teach them the same things again and again? We learn by repetition. Why in the world would we handicap our people by not letting them hear a great God-sent message more than once?
Right, that's right. And Pastor, I don't think you'll have to go to heaven and apologize for preaching the gospel too many times.
Hey, some of the prophets only had one sermon.
One sermon. Well, this has been Network. Thank you for listening in today. To find out more resources and to hear some evangelistic preaching, you can go to www.evangelismga.com. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening in.
Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.